Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 553. It's the 8th of August, 2016. On the podcast today, I have oil and gas sector authority, Malky, talks about the following stocks. Sound Energy. Wow, that's risen. You know, could have bought that start of July for 16 pence. It's now over 65 pence. Also, Ithaca Energy sees potential there. And Doc Holliday on the podcast talks about Glenwick, Audioboom, and EKF Diagnostics. I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And what we're seeing here now is a pattern. Generally, these companies being followed, the share prices start to rise, it looks like, on the majority of stocks anyway. If they're up there for 2 or 3 days in top five, you can see a correlation there of sentiment and price strength. So it's worth having a look at these and following these stocks for future research. That's all. There are no investment advice given here, just ideas on which to base your research. Also on the podcast, one for your watch list, suggested by Paul. It's Scientific Digital Imaging. I'll read out the reasons why Paul has gone for that in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, oil and gas sector authority, it's Malky. You all right, Malky?
Very well indeed, Justin. And you?
Yeah, good, thanks. And you've been flagging it up for a while, Sound Energy. And I was chatting to Zach earlier. I said you could have bought that for 16 pence start of July. It's now about 66 pence, and you've been mentioning it a lot. And good news out today, isn't it?
Yeah, they've announced today that they've got what I'm calling a potentially super giant discovery at Tendrara in Morocco. And, you know, I mean, you can't tell these things in advance too much, but it was always, it kept on looking good. But this is a decent, really commercial flow of gas. This is what the company are calling a material hydrocarbon discovery on a regional scale. And if you say regional scale and things like that, this is, you know, other wells in the area. And it means that it's a big find for Sound, but it's a big find for Morocco, and the good news is that you know, they've obviously got two more wells to drill. They've got TE7, which will be spudding any minute now, and then there's sort of an outpost well which they have to drill to delineate the field. But there is no disguising the fact that they've come across a massive gas field here in a country where they're gas short. As you know, North Africa supplies gas to Southern Europe through pipelines to Spain and Italy and so on. And there's a huge amount of demand for natural gas at the moment. So, you know, what's not to like, really? This is a proper discovery and very meaningful indeed.
Yeah, well, do you know, at the moment, the share price is rising like crazy. And I think it's about 68 pence. But, I mean, it's almost like, you know, it needs to cool off a bit. You know, I'm scared to buy at this level because even on the RSI, on the chart, relative strength, it seemed like overbought. But this just doesn't mean it can't go further. But it's one of those things where if you wanted to get in now, you'd be a bit hesitant. And, you know, almost, would you think there's more to come in the short term?
Well, I think what will happen is, I mean, you always get some sort of a sort of cooling off period because there are a lot of punters in there. I mean, I was at their meeting for shareholders 2.5 weeks ago, and I met with a lot of the guys, and these guys have got meaningful amounts of money, and they were asking me, and I said, well, you know, like most people, especially when the announcement comes out, you should probably take a little money off the table. If it comes back a bit, you can always go back in there. If not, you've cemented the holdings. And don't forget, this is a company, apart from the big holding by Continental and so on, this is a company which is held significantly by private shareholders. Having said that, Justin, when you've got a discovery as quite as big as this, when they come back and do the sums, the upside is still potentially significant, way significant from here. I mean, if you work on, say, something like a pound a share for every TCF is in there, and that there might be 5 TCF or more. I mean, it's not impossible that in a year's time this share could be trading at £5 a share. So, you know, just bear that in mind. You know, this is not one to short. There will be people taking money off the table. Those people who are listening to the conference call at 10 o'clock this morning, and that'll be include me, it's worth watching out for. But, you know, that yeah, normally you would expect, you know, the old adage is better to travel than to arrive on an oil discovery or a gas discovery. Yeah, certainly one or two people will probably take money off the table. But there's a big band of really massive keen followers in this one.
It's like one of those things. I mean, I always, whenever ever I invest in a stock, I basically split my investment, my initial exposure, I want to invest it to three. So I'll buy a tranche, fully expect the share price to come back a little bit, you know. And I think right now is a good time to put, if you haven't been in this stock, put it on your watch list. Just watch the price for a while. So like you say, it may consolidate, but there's definitely, you know, future potential here. So that's interesting. So any other stocks you're looking at, Malk, at the moment?
Yeah, one of the other stocks in the bucket list, which has drifted back a bit in the last few weeks, is called Ithaca, Ithaca Energy, IAE. This has been my sort of one of my other standout performers in the bucket list because it is so well managed and it's a really well looked after company. It's got a good hedging policy, which has kept it strong all the way through the downtime. But the point about Ithaca is that on Friday afternoon, they announced that FPF-1, which is the well that's being, the rig which is being rebuilt or modernised in Gdansk in Poland, had completed its sea trials and was had sailed away from the yard in Gdansk and was on its way to the Stella field. Now this is a game-changing move for Ithaca because it'll take about 3 months to get to Stella and it'll hook up and do all the bits and pieces and tests. But then it'll add a significant amount of production to Ithaca, 16,000 barrels a day, and of course all the cash that that entails. Ithaca are one of the lowest cost companies in the independent sector, and so this is going to go straight through to the bottom line. I'm confident that Ithaca will be one of the strongest, if not the strongest, of the UK independents. I think that there's significant upside in the shares from here, and I think that, you know, once we get an announcement that this is eventually, after all the troubles and tribulations that this the rig has caused, is on stream in 3 months' time, I think it'll just go further from here. The shares have come down from 70 odd to 58. I would seriously expect them to go back up again. This is a different type of holding from one to the others. This is, you know, not dependent on significant discoveries, but they've made the discovery and they're now going to tie it in. And it's, as I say, one of the best managed companies in the business. And I'm a big fan, Justin.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm looking at the chart going back to 2015. And right now, that 60 pence level has been historically a good support, you know, resistance level. So you'd think now they've come back a bit. They break through 60 this time. It's going higher because it's you know, it's a sort of inflection point here. So, okay, good call. And you say there's news impending, so it should move it past that easily, and that would provide then future support. So a good level. Marvellous, Malky, and I'll put that on the blog there, and we'll speak next week.
Look forward to it, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, with his own jingle, it's Small Cap Authority, Doc Holliday.
Justin, how are you? The Chuckle Brothers introduction, this, isn't it?
I quite like that, though. All right, fella, you did your podcast on the weekend there, chatting about different stocks. What's on your mind this morning? I know there's bits of news out. In fact, a bit of news from Gwick, Glenwick. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise, really, because old Cameron Parry seems to have people kind of, you know, going to the four corners of the earth trying to work out what the company is doing and what his intention has been for the business. Today they've announced that they've welcomed Jap Paul, a 70-odd year old petrochem guy, and AVD, Amanda Van Dyck, the wonderfully beautiful Amanda Van Dyck, gold analyst and fund manager at Peterhouse. It's a strange one for me. You know, there's a petrochem guy coming on board with a gold sort of analyst and specialist and fund manager. So, you know, unless they're going to start drilling for oil with a view that they might hit gold at the same time, I'm just you know, not sure what's going on. So I've kind of, you know, stuck the blindfold on, spun myself around a couple of times, and we're going to try and put the tail on the donkey. I think what you're going to find is that either Amanda's going to be coming on board as a representative for an asset or some further deal flow, or you'll find that Amanda's coming on board because she's going to be the representative for the financing partner. The company's got a decent cash position given the market cap, so you know there's no shortage of cash for Glenwick. I don't believe that there's any immediate needs for the business. I think there's more likely you'll get some visibility and a bit of colour to the picture on assets and what the business intends to do. The clock is ticking. They don't have a great deal of time to get things done, or certainly they've got to get a deal done, you know, before September. Otherwise, I think, and please, you know, don't hang me if I've got this wrong, if they don't get the deal done, they suspend, and then they've got a bit more time to try and get the deal over the line. It should give them enough time to do it. Clearly, they're making steps forward. Cameron Pearce has now resigned from the board. One of the interesting things that I picked up on was a company called Brownton or Browntown or Bronton. They'd taken a 6% position in the company prior to this announcement happening and Cameron standing down. What's that all about? Well, I guess we're going to find out. Will we see, you know, some kind of deal coming in via JAP that Amanda is going to act as a representative to some kind of funding partner? Or is it a case that Amanda's going to introduce a deal to Glenwick and Japp's the guy who's going to be heading the company moving forward? As I say, don't have any great concerns over funding requirements, as I think the balance sheet's quite sort of tasty given the fact that it's got a market cap of £1.5-2 million. I'm sure they had about £1.5 million in the bank or £1 million. So, as I say, we'll probably get some visibility on asset and deal flow pretty soon, I'd have thought.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it now, and they've got 1.2 million, which is 0.06 of a pence, apparently. And, so you said, 3rd of September they have till, and if they didn't do it, 6 months they've got then, otherwise they'd be delisted. And I'm just looking at Amanda's name there. That's what struck me. It's Amanda Bianca Nicole Mazzolino Van Dyke. That's a cracking name, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think obviously she had a lot of aunties or you know, I don't know, a mum named her after famous opera singers or something. But it's an I tell you what, it's an impressive name. And, you know, she's a smart girl. I spoke with Amanda a couple of times, and every time I spoke to her, she's been particularly, you know, helpful. She knows the business. She knows what she's doing when it comes to golden mining, that's for sure. So wish them all the very best of luck moving forward, and we'll see what comes from that in the near future.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned, I had Rod Proctor on from Boom, Audio Boom, last week. Now, you've taken a position there, haven't you?
Yeah, I've taken a bit of a speculative punt on it. I've obviously put my thoughts up on the Vox Market chat board for Boom. If anybody wishes to sort of have a chat on there, I'm happy enough to sort of discuss anything in sort of greater detail. Quick overview for me is, it is literally the grand old Duke of York move, isn't it? You know, it's gone all the way to the top and back down again. And I think these guys are putting money into the business around about 2-3p, and it's back there again. You know, the old analogy, wholesale retail, sort of comes to mind. Retail were buying this at 10, 12, 15, 16 pence, 17p, and now we're back at 2. It's not a great performance for Audio Boom. You know, somebody sort of said to me, it's a dog stock, and why the heck would you buy it? And in fact, a couple of even the high net worth associates I have certainly said, are you mad? I guess I'm a little mad. I follow a strategy of market mechanics. I believe that the business has raised some money. It's mentioned that it's got these Chinese partners. If you listen to the type of narrative that Rob's using about companies out in the US being valued significantly higher with a lot less, we're a leading UK sort of audio platform and content partnering business. I mean, all of that sort of suggests that there's so many different catalysts to move this on. Is it going to be the case that a US business looks to take audio boom out, given the valuation so tiny in comparison to how it would have been valued out in the US? We know Rob's flying in and out of the States on a regular basis. There's a lot of business that he's got out there. You know, does he just kind of look at it and say, well, clearly the UK market's not really feeling what we're doing, and we're going to look to work with somebody on a takeout out in the US? You know, is it an accident that, you know, 2.5 million quid's worth of cash has come in? I mean, I'd even hazard a guess that the people putting the money in at this level were probably the same people that were selling it at 5 or 6 times higher than this level. So, you know, following my own rationale and market mechanics, I've not spoke to Rob recently. I've not spoke to any of the advisors or representatives either. I'm just going to take a pot shot and say that I think that this is going to, it's got all of the hallmarks to do well from this level. They've got a Chinese funding arm who's prepared to offer some cash should they need it. They've raised 2.5 million quid, so that sort of sitting quietly for a long period of time, not saying a dicky bird, watching the share price just slowly erode with clearly a distressed seller in the stock. That's out the way now. He's back out. He's doing his podcast. He's talking about the business. I'd say that the company's gearing up at this point to go higher rather than lower. Could be wrong. Been wrong in the past. But I've taken a bit of a binary punt on it, and I'm prepared to stick a bit of cash in and see what goes on with it.
Yeah, I mean, looking at, you know, fundamentals, they are still a bit overvalued because they're about 13 million market cap, and hopefully with this half one revenue plus the booked revenue is 1 million in revenue, and they're, you know, they're still valued at 13 million. So, but yet, yeah, you're right. From a takeover point of view, they're probably quite cheap considering the sort of deals they've done around the world. You know, compared to a lot of podcast companies, they are the number one on the spoken word around the world, pretty much. And so you'd think for a bigger company, you know, who have the funds and the pockets, deep pockets, they could easily buy this up. And, you know, it would probably help them, and they could leverage that and use it. So, yeah, you may be right. It could be a takeover target here. You never know. But,
it's the shortcut scenario, isn't it? You know, if you're looking to put something on the US markets at $30, $40, $50 million, and you know you just peer over the pond and you've got a company valued at $20 million, which is already well ahead of where you could probably be in the next sort of 12 to 18 24 months, it makes perfect sense to come over, hoover it up and take it back. You know, that could well happen. The fact that, you know, you and I are aware of, there was all of these kind of rumors, Google Play, big names, Google dealing with big kind of companies. It's not quite happened, has it? You know, what's happened is there's been somebody in there in a pretty distressed state selling down this stock on a regular basis. The shares are moving sort of 325 back down to 275, 2.5, 325. I've been doing it forever and a day. They've gone and raised some cash at the bottom of that bit of a cycle. Soon as it gets over 325, honestly, I can see it going well. I can see it getting to 4, 5, even 6p relatively quickly. If, and to caveat, and I need to mention this, if they carry on with the finger stuck up the butt, doing absolutely nothing, this share price will be going down to below 2p. I've got no doubt about that, but that's the risk that we're taking. I think there's just too many different catalysts that could ignite and catch on in the market, given the fact that the shares are off from highs of 17p down to 2.5. But let's wait and see. It's exciting.
Yeah, okay, let's have a look at one more, sir. EKF, I don't know much about those. What's happening there?
Do you know, you've asked me that question about EKF, and that's a company that I spoke to you about sort of just in private, really, very briefly once. I'd mentioned it on Tip TV with Zach. We talked a little bit about EKF. The company were just sort of getting itself into better shape. They needed to get a bit of cash under their belt. They have done. Obviously, Adam Reynolds was on board there as a non-exec director. We've seen a few people come and go. We saw a bit of director participation and buy-in. The company have raised a bit of cash, I think, at 11.5p. This, again, you know, you look at valuations and you say, it looks a bit heavy on the value side. But one half of that business was subject to a takeover a little while ago, I think, with a valuation of 120 or 150 million quid or dollars or whatever it was. So there's obviously some intrinsic value to that business by the virtue of that potential deal that was gonna go through. It's not happened. They've raised a bit of capital. They've been shaping the company up, and it is trading now at 15-16p. I kick myself every day. But I think, you know, should it come back, it's one that I've got on my watch list and I'll probably have a crack at. I probably won't be paying more than sort of 11-12p for it. I'd like to pay 10-10.5. Let's wait and see what happens. You know, there's plenty of ups and downs in this game, mate, and we'll see where that goes from here, I guess.
Marvellous. You got your banjo ready. We need an out tune as well. And is it ready? And that was Doc there, Small Cap Authority. Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, in from nowhere, 88 Energy, ATD. At four, it dipped out but came back in. EasyJet, doing well on that at the moment for our experiment. You can read about that, from £1,000 to £100,000 in 50 trades or less. And that's the first stock we've picked. Bought at $9.99, it's now at $10.50, I think it is. At three, very popular stock. Good news out today. Covered it with Zach earlier on in 3 minutes. And that's CloudTag, CTAG. At two, another popular stock there. Proxama, PROX. And number one, covered it with Malky today. And like I said, the share price has gone gangbusters. Absolutely mania. You could have bought that for 16 pence, start of July. It's now about 66 pence, I last looked. And that's Sound Energy, SOU. These are companies worth following to do some more research on. And talking about adding to your watch list, here's one today suggested by Paul M, or Paul M. And it's Scientific Digital Imaging, SDI ticker. What does the company do? AIM Coded Group focuses on scientific and technology products for use in applications including life sciences, healthcare, astronomy, consumer manufacturing, and art conservation. How many shares does the company have in issue? 64 million. Current price and market cap? 14 pence. Market cap? 9 million. Revenues, profit and loss. Year ended April the 30th, 2016. Revenue? 8.5 million. Increased gross margin, 61.1%, up from 59%. Operating profit of 536,000. So check it out, SDI. How much cash debt does the company have? During the year, the group improved cash flow, reporting a cash balance of £1.7 million. At the year end, in October, the group raised £2.5 million through an issue of 31 million shares at 8 pence. And the funds raised were to acquire Centic Limited. There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. All right, number one, as well as the positive contribution of Centec, Opus Instruments and Attic, the new Synoptics product released in 2016, together with a focused sales strategy, are expected to drive continued growth. With growing interest in SDI's products from North America, particularly in the rapid microbiology and antibiotic resistance sectors, the board views the next financial year with confidence. Reason two, SDI continues to assess new businesses with complementary products and plans to add further new companies to the group by the end of 2016-2017. SDI will also continue to invest in its current operations. And reason three, the Department of Health's new guidance confirms that protein levels on a surgical instrument should be measured directly on the surface rather than by swabbing or other common used methods. ProReveal, SDI's highly sensitive fluorescence-based patented protein detection test, is the only marketed product of which we are aware that can adhere to these stringent guidelines. It allows the testing of the whole instrument for protein rather than just a small swabbed area, and will be invaluable to the sterile services department in hospitals throughout the UK and overseas. I quite like the sound of that. That's Scientific Digital Imaging, SDI. Please add it to your watch list and do some further research. And like I said, nothing on this podcast is investment advice. It's all ideas on which to base your research. So that's SDI. I'm going to look at those because I think that's quite interesting. And market cap of 9 million, price at the moment 14 pence. Thank you very much, Paul, for suggesting that. If you have a company you think has potential there, then please do. If you think, you know, people should add it to their watch list, please go to Vox Markets bankinvest.co.uk/blog. Click the link there, and in there you'll see a little link there to fill out the form. It takes 5 minutes, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. I couldn't think of the word there. Thanks very much for listening. Much as appreciated, and there'll be more tomorrow.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.